Good morning. Great to see all of you. Thank you for being here. We have a number of guests this morning. Thank you for being a part of our audience. We're always delighted to have you. We love having visitors, and we hope that our behavior will make you believe that we're not just saying that, but that we actually do love having you here. I read a story about a man that was lost in the desert, and the wind was blowing and sand was blowing. He became very thirsty, and time went on, and he thought he was going to starve to death. And as the wind died down and the sand settled down, he looked on the horizon and he saw a cabin, he thought. He thought it might be a mirage, but as he got closer, there was actually a cabin out in the desert, a small cabin, and sand had blown up against it, and the door was covered with sand, but he decided he would go in. And he pulled the door open, and inside, of course, you would expect it to be very dry, very sandy, but in that building was a pump. He looked at the pump, and he went over, and he took the handle, and he pumped it a few times, and absolutely nothing. There was dust all over it, and he started to leave, thinking that there was no hope for his life, that he would starve to death because he had no water. And as he started to leave, he saw a jug that had been almost completely covered by sand, and when he decided to pick the jug up, it had something in it, and there was a note on the jug that said, "You have to prime the pump with this water. It takes every bit of the water in this jug to prime the pump. If you choose to prime the pump, you can have all the water that you can drink." And we began to think about this man and his dilemma. He's so thirsty. Here is water. There's no promise necessarily that he can see visibly, that if he pours all of that water in the pump, that things are going to be as the note said. He has to trust. He has to have faith that someone who wrote the note knew what they were talking about. He could drink the water and live for a while, knowing that there was no real hope of water out there in any foreseeable future, maybe not at all. So he decides to listen to the note, and he pours every drop of water into the pump, and he begins to pump, and a dribble of water comes, and he's thinking maybe, and he continues to pump until the water begins to flow freely from the pump. The note had said it takes all of it, and he decided as he got all the water that he could drink, and then he found something to take some with him, he filled the jug back up, and he was going to set the jug down near the pump, and he added to that note, "Believe me, it really works. You have to give it all away. You have to pour all the water in the pump for it to work." Really, that's what God has done for us. When we listened to Brother Waller's prayer, he talked about the message of God being the only hope for a world that is drying up because of sin. There's a need for the living water, and people are dying. And God's story, God's message, is a message that tells us that if we drink all of it, we're going to be able to live. We're going to be able to survive this parched world, a world that is truly parched with sin. We have such a need for faith. Have you ever stopped and just really thought about why do I need faith? Well, there are some really simple answers, aren't there? Really simple answers to that question, why do I need faith? Well, God said so. The Bible says so. We say, does Jesus love me? I know He does. The Bible tells me so. But as we think about all that the Bible says about faith this morning, I want you to think with me about why we need faith. In this passage that Chris read for us a little while ago, there is that great statement about faith and what faith is. And there are several words that are used in different translations. We have in the New King James the concept of substance. Faith is the substance. Some translations use another word, realization. And then there is the word used, evidence. It is conviction of things not seen. If you take a look at a Greek lexicon that is used to help us understand the words of the New Testament much better. Here is a few statements from Thayer's lexicon describing faith as it is discussed in this particular passage. It is a setting or a placing under, things that are put under. It's a substructure. It's a foundation. It is that which has a foundation. It is firm. It is that which has actual existence. It is substance. It is real. If I tap on this pulpit, you are hearing a sound because this is real. It has substance. God is telling us that our faith is based on things that are just as real as you believe this pulpit is real. It's not something that we have to just hope, maybe, possibly, perhaps, is out there. Sometimes when we describe our faith to other people, some people will ask, do you believe that you are saved? Well, I hope that I'm saved. That's a good answer, isn't it? It's a biblical answer. But can you know, based on what God's message is, that you are saved? There's evidence that you are saved when you do what God says. You read God's message. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. When you see that message and you hear that message, you believe God's message and you repent of your sins and you are baptized, it is at that point that you can see the message of God telling you that you have been cleansed of your sins. And that is what saves us, being cleansed from our sins. So there's substance to that. There's reality to that. It is real. You can trust it. You can believe it. You can say, I have listened to what God says. I have done what God says. I've trusted in Him. And there is substance to the fact that I am saved. You see, we're going to be taking a look at guardians of faith in our Vacation Bible School. And we need to take a look at them. We need to see, why did they need faith? And how can we translate that into our lives today? We go through life facing difficulty after difficulty. And if we aren't thoughtful, we'll forget to trust God. We'll forget to pray to God and seek His help and then trust that He's going to give us what we need to face the situation that we're in. Will He remove the situation? No. He'll give us what we need to face the situation. So when we look at faith, we can see some things that faith is. But when it describes faith, also you take a look at that second concept, and it is about a person. It's the quality, the substantial quality of a person. This person is faithful. You're talking about a quality of a person. One of the descriptive statements made about God's nature is that God is faithful. That's what He is. That's His substance. That's His very makeup. God is faithful. Is that you? Is that your makeup? That you can be trusted? You can be depended on? That's what faith is about. It is the nature of a person or a thing. And that nature includes steadfastness of mind. Steadfastness of mind, firmness, courage, resolution, confidence, firm trust, and assurance. Why do we need all of those things? You know, the Bible asked us to believe some things that are unbelievable to the world. Why should we have that faith and that confidence? Let me share just a few thoughts with you about this. Some of you will be able to reason in a more deep manner than I'm going to this morning, and you may have great reasons as to why you should have faith. And I want to share with you a few of the ideas that I think about when I think about why do I need faith. First of all, there are things that I cannot see. I can't see with the visible eye. And not only that, there are some things that I see that are magical. They just are illusions. Some magicians now are able to make buildings disappear. They're able to make big animals like lions just totally disappear. And we are wowed by that. But we recognize it's an illusion. And you remember, God is talking about faith as being something that's real, something that has substance. It's not an illusion. But there are things that we cannot see. When we read Genesis chapter 1, what an amazing story God is asking us to believe. Is there any credibility to it? Is there any reason to accept the creation story? when we begin to see what God has done and all of the things that He brought into existence, is there any reason to believe in that? You see, our faith helps us to see a God who has the authority, the power to bring everything that you and I know about into existence from nothing. We might could get a musician. When I preached down at Raymer, Tennessee, many years ago, there was a young man who became principal of one of the schools in Adamsville. He was a magician. And old Brian, he could take a number of things and just do some amazing illusions. On the stage over in Lloyd Auditorium, he sawed his sister in half. And wow, it looked so good. It looked so real. When we were studying in the book of Acts and he was in my Bible class, I got him to bring a magic trick or two to illustrate to the students what Simon the Sorcerer was about and how he did some magic tricks and Brian could do some amazing things. Is that what happened in Genesis 1? Was it just an illusion that God brought into existence all of these things? You see, we need the ability to see some things that are really unseen by our sight. When you think about the miracles of the Bible, can you stand by the tomb? If you had the blessing that Jan and I and many others have had of standing at what is proposed to be the tomb of Lazarus, can you understand and see Lazarus coming forth still wrapped in grave clothing as he is called forth from the grave by Jesus? You see, by faith, we see those kinds of things happening. Can you see by faith Jesus spitting on the ground and making some mud and putting it on the eyes of a blind man and him going to a pool and washing that off and receiving his sight? Can you see that? You see, faith gives us the ability to see those things. Can you see Peter and John going into the gate called Beautiful, and there's a man crippled all of his life, 40 years old, asking for help and money, and Peter said, I don't have any money, but I'm going to give you what I have. And he told him to arise and take up his pallet and walk, and he was able not just to walk, but he would leap and run and praise God. Can you see that? You see, faith gives us the ability to see the unseeable. How about the second coming? Can you see the Lord coming again as we read about Him leaving in Acts 1? And can you see that man in white apparel saying, listen, why are you standing gazing into heaven? This same Jesus is going to return again in the same manner in which He is leaving. Can you see that? You see, God tells us how these things are going to happen. And it is only by faith that we can see these things that are unseeable. How about heaven? When God describes heaven, He takes some of the worst qualities of this world and turns them around. He takes some of the best qualities of this world and puts those qualities at the highest level that you and I can think about. We would not think about gold being so powerful, so prolific that we would make aisles of this church building out of gold, much less the streets that run through Henderson, or how about New York City or Atlanta or Los Angeles or some large city? How about that? You see, we're going to be inside a city described by God as 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide. Streets of gold. God takes the best of the best that you and I think about of this world and telling us that's what heaven is going to be like. But those other things that we don't want any part of, sickness. Some people in this room are very ill this morning. And we have friends and relatives that are outside of this room who are so ill they cannot be here this morning. There will be no sickness. There are some of you sitting in this room today who are hurting. And we have friends and relatives that are hurting so much they cannot be here this morning. God says we're going to remove that pain. No sickness, no death, no dying. I've been out of town a few days and there have been several deaths reported in our cell system. No more of that. God gives us that. Can you see that? Can you see that place? You'll only see it by faith. And then God tells us that if we choose to disregard what He has to say and we refuse to see what He's trying to show us, there is a place that we can abide forever that is not very acceptable. And when you start thinking about eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Can you see that? You see, we have such a hard time seeing that. Can you think about a place, outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm never dies? God has some pretty awesome descriptions of that place. Can you see that? It is only by faith. And if we refuse to accept the message of God that is the light of the world that opens our eyes, we will not be able to see those things that are unseen. But it also gives us the power to hear what we cannot hear directly. We'll never hear the voice of Jesus in our lifetime in this world the same way that people in the first century had the blessing of hear Him open His mouth and teach them, saying, for example, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We won't have that blessing and that opportunity, but we can hear the very voice of God. Can you hear it? It is only by faith that nine times we hear God in Genesis 1 saying, either then God said, or and God said, and He pronounced what He wanted and He said it. Can you hear it? When you begin to think about the creation story in Matthew 7, at the conclusion of that great Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus had preached so powerfully that those folks thought that, wow, this man teaches with such authority. We don't hear authority like that. Can you hear the message of Jesus? Whoever hears these sayings of mine, God is expecting by faith you and me to hear the voice of Jesus. We sing songs like, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. When we start thinking about those things, we don't actually hear the voice as you're hearing my voice, but we hear God, don't we? By faith, we hear those things. For some, there will be words of departure. You take a look at verse 23 of Matthew 7, near the end of this great Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Can you hear those words? If this day you have not listened to God, you've not been obedient to God, you've not been born into the family of God by having your sins washed away in that beautiful act of baptism that represents the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus, can you hear those words? Depart from me, I never knew you. You see, Jesus says there's no need for that. Because you can hear other words, words of entrance, as we think about the story of the talents, the parable of the talents. Those people who took the five and the two talents and used them in a positive way. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you faithful over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Can you hear those words as Jesus says them? We have the ability to hear the unheard. And then we have the power to understand the ununderstandable. Man is groping today, trying to understand where we came from. There are all kinds of theories about where we came from. Where did the world come from? How did all of this come about? And they're reaching out there. They're grappling out there. They're hoping out there somewhere. There is some intelligent life. Well, there is. Out there is a God who gave us life and breath, Paul says in Acts 17. And it is in Him that we live and move and have our very being. There are things that are hard to understand, but God gives us by faith the power and ability to understand the ununderstandable. How is it that a tornado that rips through a town, and Henderson is familiar with that. Some of you folks that are a little bit older, you can remember several tragedies that have occurred here because of a tornado. Some of you may be very personally involved in that. When we start thinking about all the devastating things that occur in our world, how is it that all things can work together for good if you love the Lord, and if you are called according to His purpose? How is it that you can understand the devastating effects of sin? God sent Saul to totally annihilate the Amalekites. You see, we have people that do not understand God at all. But God gives us by faith the opportunity, the ability to see the devastating effects of sin. When we begin to think about that, the soul that sins, it shall die. We cannot stop that. God tells us that by faith. We can do something about our sins, but we can't stop that. And we just have such a hard time understanding what God has said and what God has done unless we, by faith, accept His will, His way, and His word. The Apostle Paul in Romans 7 describes me, describes you. When we take an honest look at ourselves and we listen to Him, and we must say, as Paul did, the very things that I don't want to do, I do. The very things that I should do and know that I should do, I don't do. And then Paul cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of death?" And then, by faith, we give thanks to God for His indescribable gift. It is unbelievable that God would make a wretch like the Apostle Paul His treasure. And that same thing would be true with you and me. How amazing it is. And God gives us by faith the ability to believe the unbelievable. And then He gives us power to do the undoable. We cannot think about the whole world as one big blob, can we? We think about it one person at a time. Think about the devastating effects on sin if every person in this room accountable before God would go out of this building and begin, and in the rest of 2014, teach one person, baptize them into Christ, and then in the next year, that person teach one person and baptize them into Christ. That's what God wants us to do, to teach faithful men who are prepared to teach other faithful men. Can we turn the world upside down? The answer is absolutely yes. God has shown us by faith that we can do that. He showed those first century people when they came into Thessalonica. These that have turned the world upside down have come here as well. We can do that. God gives us the power to do that. We need faith. We can't cleanse ourselves from sin. We can choose sin, but without the help of God, we cannot cleanse ourselves from sin. We cannot overcome the reality of death. Men have tried. We've tried to find the fountain of youth. We've tried to find a way to keep us alive longer, and though we are living longer, we are still facing the reality of death. We can't overcome that, but God can help us overcome death by the power of the resurrection. We cannot live on our own a life that is pleasing to Christ. And so this morning, I suggest to you that we need faith to help us guard the lives of people that we love in faith. We need faith to see the power that God has in things that we can't visually see. We need faith to hear those things that we will not hear in person. We need faith to understand those things that seem so unbelievable to us. And this morning, we need faith to do the undoable, to put ourselves in a relationship with God so that He can remove our sins and save our souls. What a blessing. We need faith. We need faith. I encourage all of us to support our Vacation Bible School, to think about guardians of faith. I encourage all of us to continue to think about how important it is that we need faith. And this morning, if you've not been obedient to God, But you have the faith. You trust God. You understand that without Him and apart from Him, you're going to be lost, but you've never done anything about the confidence that you have in God. Wouldn't you want to respond this morning? You've never been baptized. Repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ. If you're a child of God and you recognize the state of lostness and hopelessness that you're in, pray it over to God, repenting and praying. We need faith. If you need, tell us what's going on.